Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, family, peace and blessings, brothers and sisters. We are back with another live stream of GOCC Fit here for the Gathering of Christ Church, where we discuss all things health, fitness, and nutrition related. I'm your host, your neighborhood certified personal trainer, nutritionist, and health coach, Ramar Karab. All right, here again back to discuss another installment of GOCC Fit, where today we will be discussing, let me pull up the title for you all things potassium, all things potassium. All right, and let me go ahead and get the scripture for the live stream for you all here. One moment. Pull that up. It is in the King James Apocrypha in the book of Sirach, also known as Ecclesiasticus. So we're at Sirach chapter 30, verse 15, where it tells us health and good estate of body are above all gold, and a strong body above infinite wealth. So we can even come to the Bible and the scriptures and show the importance of having a good estate of body and strong body, how important it is, that it's more important than any amount of money that you could have. All right, so health is wealth. And so just the emphasized importance of when it comes to our health and well-being. All right. And again, we will be discussing all things potassium for this live stream. We also, at the end of the live stream, we have Q&A, where we will answer some questions for about 30 minutes. The guest call-in number is here on your screen. You should be able to see it here, 515-605-9327. That will get you into the Blog Talk queue. And if you have a question, comment, anything you would like to say, press the number one. I'll also be going to the live stream chat and answering any questions there also. All right, so let's go ahead. We're going to go right into the information on potassium for this stream. Let me pull it up here. We have healthline.com. Of course, we do a lot of referencing here on Healthline. They do a real good job making it real simple, easy for everyone to understand. All right, and so for Healthline, we have here, what does potassium do for your body? A detailed review. Now, before we go into it, we are winding down to the nutrient side of information that we've been going into here on GOCC Fit. And as I was thinking through the minerals, as we have shifted from the vitamin side to the mineral side of nutrients, and thinking of all the minerals that we still had not done, there was one, you know, like how could I forgotten potassium because of its importance. Really, really important nutrient. And I feel that there is a serious deficiency of potassium when it comes to people. and primarily to, you know, maybe one or two different health issues, but it can, of course, a deficiency can cause a lot of different health issues, but, you know, a couple in particular, very, very important health issues that a lot of people suffer from, especially those who could be in the Black community, that definitely we want to take a serious look at potassium today. And so, as you can see here, we're going to read through this. It says, a potassium-rich diet is linked to many powerful health benefits. It may help reduce blood pressure and water retention, protect against stroke and help osteoporosis and kidney stones. All right, so here we have the information. It says the importance of potassium is highly underestimated. So when we talk about minerals, we talk about nutrients, I think that probably potassium isn't one of the ones people are going to say, are you getting your potassium, right? Are you eating the potassium foods? Do you have the potassium-rich diet? Are you taking potassium supplementation to make sure you're getting your potassium? So it is, you know, undervalued, probably one of the most underestimated and undervalued minerals that there are. So really want to examine this today. It says the mineral is classified as an electrolyte because it's highly reactive in water. When dissolved in water, it produces positively charged ions. This special property allows it to conduct electricity, which is important for many processes throughout the body. So we're talking about us as people being electric or energy beings. So for those of us, you know, who believe in the Bible, understand this, understanding that we are spirit beings in a earthly or fleshly body. And our spirit, which is energy coming from the Creator, the Most High God, right? And so it makes sense when we talk about electricity within the body. And so now potassium helps to conduct this electricity within the body so that certain processes in the body can happen. So could you imagine, you know, you have, let's say, for instance, I don't know, a toaster oven, and you want to warm up some food, and it's not plugged into the wall for electricity. It's not plugged into anything, so it's getting no energy source, and that you're sitting there hitting the buttons or changing the knobs on this microwave oven, then how now are you going to warm up your food? Or should I say toaster oven, not microwave? Right? Toaster oven. Don't use microwaves. And that's a whole nother topic of discussion. But your toaster oven, right? You're trying to heat your food up or warm your food up with the toaster oven, but it's not plugged into the wall. Are you going to have any success of warming your food up past room temperature? Right? Answer is no. You're not going, your food's not going to warm up. Why? Because it's not plugged in or it's not electrically charged. It's not getting the electricity that's needed for it to perform. So also keep this in mind when we talk about potassium. And the reason it's classified as an electrolyte. So a lot of people understand that electrolytes are for, you know, hydration. So you have different sports drinks and things like that to where, you know, you're working out or you're exercising and you're sweating, or maybe you're not even exercising. Maybe you're just in the sun. Maybe you haven't been getting the proper minerals and fluids like potassium. And now you're dehydrated. Now your body is going through different types of issues like cramping and things like that. Well, it's because the electricity in the body, this electrolyte is could potentially not be present, which would now cause these issues. Okay, but just wanted to stress the fact of that we are electrical beings, And these minerals are like metals, and they help conduct electricity in the body. Okay. And so it says here, this special property allows it to conduct electricity, which is important for many processes throughout the body, right? So again, if you're missing this, all right, you're similar to a toaster oven or any other electronical device that needs power to operate, okay? You're just not able to function without that electricity. So this is what happens when you are not getting this mineral. And, you know, not just this one, but in particular, we're talking about potassium today, right? It says this article provides a detailed review of potassium and what it does for your health. What is potassium? A person may ask. Potassium is the third most abundant mineral in the body. So again, if it's a mineral that is in the top list of minerals that the body needs, then how much more important could we say that it is for us to have this, right? So if it's the third most abundant one in the body, that means that the body needs it in a high amount. And what happens if you're not getting it? We're going to talk about that. What can happen when you're not getting enough potassium? It helps the body regulate fluid, send nerve signals, and regulate muscle contractions. So we talked about other minerals that help with muscle contractions. So your muscles are what allow you to move, allow your bones, which is the structure of your body. They're attached to your bones. They allow your bones to move. So what happens when your muscles aren't working and you can't move? Again, no electricity. Not a good thing, right? Roughly 98% of the potassium in your body is found in your cells. Of this, 80% is found in your muscles, while the other 20% can be found in your bones, liver, and red blood cells. Once inside your body, it functions as an electrolyte. When in water, an electrolyte dissolves into positive or negative ions that have the ability to conduct electricity. Potassium ions carry a positive charge. Okay, so this mineral is charged. It has an electrical charge. So it's needed so that the body can have that spark, right, that electricity, a conduit, or being able to conduct the ability for the body to perform. All right. And that's anything that, you know, we're talking about 80% of it being in your muscles. So all your muscles, in order for them to perform and do the things that they need to do, got to have potassium. Your body uses this electricity to manage a variety of processes, including fluid balance, nerve signals, and muscle contractions. Right. And you talk about fluid balance, and, you know, we're primarily made up of water, you know, 60, 70, 80%, whatever the percentage is of us as people. We are made up mostly of fluid. So if we're made up mostly of fluid, and that this particular mineral, potassium, that ion, that positive charge is not there within that fluid, you know, what does that mean? For that fluid. That fluid is lifeless, right? It's dead fluid. So that's the reason why the fluid now cannot be balanced out when potassium is missing. It says, therefore, a low or high amount of electrolytes in the body can affect many crucial functions. Speaking of fluid balance, let's talk about fluid balance. It says here, the body is made up of approximately 60% water. 40% of this water is found inside your cells in a substance called intracellular fluid. The remainder is found outside your cells in areas such as your blood, spinal fluid, and between cells. This fluid is called extracellular. So a lot of liquid, a lot of fluid here. Interestingly, the amount of water in the ICF and ECF is affected by their concentration of electrolytes, especially potassium and sodium. So we're going to talk about a little bit about sodium as well, because potassium and sodium both work hand in hand. Potassium is the main electrolyte in the ICF, and it determines the amount of water inside the cells. Conversely, sodium is the main electrolyte in the ECF, and it determines the amount of water outside the cells. All right, so you can understand that if potassium's not there, if it's determining how much water is outside the cells, and if it's out of balance, then you're going to have more fluid in places where it shouldn't be. The number of electrolytes relative to the amount of fluid is called osmolality. Under normal conditions, the osmolality is the same inside and outside your cells, so it helps to keep the balance between the fluid inside the cells and the fluid outside. Simply put, there's an equal balance of electrolytes outside and inside your cells. However, when osmolality is unequal, water from the side with fewer electrolytes will move into the side with more electrolytes to equalize electrolyte concentrations. So now you have a imbalance. So the water is going to move to the area where most of the electrolytes are, okay, to help, basically diminish the parts per million or how many parts of electrolytes are in the water. Okay, you cannot have a high amount of electrolytes in a little bit of water. That's off balance. So now the water's flooding in, right, to minimize the amount of electrolytes that are concentrated in that particular area. Okay, so it's similar to like a watered down effect. Okay, making it weak, making the electrolyte concentration in that particular area weaker now. This may cause cells to shrink as water moves out of them or swell up and burst as water moves into them. So see, this is not what you want. You don't want your cells bursting, right? Because water now is coming in, rushing in, right? And we've, seen this, take for instance, like, a tsunami. A tsunami comes in of water and hits, a shore or a coastline, and, you have people, property, whatever there. What happens? Stuff gets destroyed. Well, that's similar what we're seeing here. We're seeing your cells now getting destroyed by this water moving in quickly to try to compensate for the, disproportionate amount of electrolytes in this particular area. That's why it's important to make sure you consume the right electrolytes, including potassium. Maintaining good fluid balance is important for optimal health. Poor fluid balance can lead to dehydration, which in turn affects the heart and kidneys. So, of course, you can't have the potassium and not also be taking in fluid. Lots of water, healthy beverages, that actually help bring in, maybe nutrients with the water, like teas and, your cold pressed juices and things like that. So you need the fluid as well as the minerals. Can't have, you don't want to have one and not the other. Eating a potassium rich diet and staying hydrated can help maintain good fluid balance. All right. So potassium is important also for the nervous system. It says the nervous system relays messages between your body and brain. These messages are delivered in the form of nerve impulses and help regulate your muscle contractions, heartbeat, reflexes, and many other body functions. Okay, so now the potassium allows, again, electricity, the electric charges or the nervous system relays, the messages that are coming are electrical. Right, those are electrical pulses from your brain to different parts of your body. And so if potassium is missing, those electrical relay charges or messages cannot be sent. Interestingly, nerve impulses are generated by sodium ions moving into cells and potassium ions moving out of cells. The movement of ion changes the voltage of the cell, which activates a nerve impulse. Unfortunately, a drop in blood levels of potassium can affect the body's ability to generate a nerve impulse. Getting enough potassium from your diet can help you maintain healthy nerve function. right? So now we're talking about, we talked about fluid balance. We're talking about healthy nerves, okay? And all different types of nerve issues, you know, being jittery, right? And, you know, just all different types of twitching and things like that going on because your nerves aren't functioning right from lack of potassium. Potassium helps regulate muscle and heart contractions. Okay, the nervous system helps regulate muscle contractions. So again, these your nervous system is sending messages because of the potassium, the electrical ion charges, to your muscles. And so therefore, signaling your muscles to move. But if potassium is not there, now the muscle to nervous system connection and communication is missing. It says, however, altered blood potassium levels can affect nerve signals in the nervous system, weakening muscle contractions. Both low and high blood levels can affect nerve impulses by altering the voltage of nerve cells. So your cells have a voltage. See that? Your cells are charged. They have a voltage. So if anybody who's potentially lived in other countries know that, you know, like you go over into different parts of Europe and the Middle East, because, you know, just my own experience traveling there, there's a different voltage for their electrical outlets. And if you plug 120 volt, you know, a particular electronic device, America uses 110. And if you go over there and they use 220, 240, and you plug 110 voltage device into one of their outlets, what's going to happen without an adapter to actually, you know, to actually adapt to the difference in fluctuation of voltage, you're going to burn that device out. Right. So this is what happens with our cells when the voltage isn't right. Right. Cells die. Things start to burn out. Right. Cells start to fail. Because it's the charge, or if it's not enough charge, then now the cell can't perform. For instance, if it's a 240 device and you plug it into 110, now it doesn't have enough voltage to actually power it. So it may only work, you know, halfway. It may only work, you know, power on, to a certain degree without fully functioning. So this is what happens to our body. Now our bodies aren't fully functioning and operating the way they're supposed to, which can lead to other breakdowns within the body. The mineral is also important for a healthy heart because, again, our heart is made of muscle. So if the heart isn't getting the electrical charge that it needs for it to, and the signals being sent to it to beat, what's going to happen to the heart? Because remember, the heart is constantly beating. It's not like other muscles in your body that are resting and only are, you know, contracting when, you know, you move for a particular movement. Well, your heart is constantly moving. So if you're low on potassium, what's that spell for your heart that needs a constant, proper electrical charge? Well, we're going to get into it here in a moment. So it's important for a healthy heart, as its movement in and out of cells helps maintain a regular heartbeat. All right. So common sense, if you're not getting the proper potassium, you're going to have an irregular heartbeat. Again, potassium brings balance, fluid balance, balance to your heart, making sure the heart is beating at a regular pace, not irregular. When blood levels of the mineral are too high, the heart may become dilated and flaccid. This can weaken its contractions and produce an abnormal heartbeat. So just like with anything else, right? Too much of something have a negative effect on you as well, even though it's good for you, right? Even though it's good for you, there is a limit. And we'll talk about those limits here later. Likewise, low levels in the blood can also alter the heartbeat. When the heart does not beat properly, it cannot effectively pump blood to the brain, organs, and muscles. So if your heart is beating irregularly from lack of potassium and blood isn't getting to your brain the proper way, now blood isn't getting to your organs and your muscles the proper way. What is this spell for the body? Like, what do you think is going to happen to your brain if it's not getting the proper blood because of lack of potassium? The heart can't function properly. The heart, so now you're starting to see a chain reaction of events happening in the body just from having this this potassium deficiency. It says here, in some cases, heart arrhythmia or an irregular heartbeat can be fatal and lead to sudden death. Common sense. So when we're talking about certain nutrients, vitamins or minerals, we have to really pay attention to those that affect the heart, all right? Because the heart has to beat continuously. It's always working. It's never taking a break. Its break is the split second from one heartbeat to the next. That's the only time it gets to rest, all right? So these are nutrients we have to focus on to make sure that we're not lacking. Now, those are some of the issues of what it helps. Let's talk about the health benefits. All right, we're now going to go into what are some of the health benefits that we can receive if we are making sure our potassium levels are optimal. Consuming a potassium-rich diet is linked to many impressive health benefits. Big one. This is the main one right here. Because so many people, especially black people, suffer from high blood pressure. May help reduce blood pressure. High blood pressure affects nearly 1 in 3 Americans. It's a risk factor for heart disease, the leading cause of death worldwide. All right, how many of you all in the chat, and you don't have to answer, but you can just ask yourself the question, who have been to the doctor and the doctor has told you that you have high blood pressure, that you struggle with high blood pressure? Well, potassium, we got to look at the potassium levels. And we're going to explain why. We're going to go into the science of why potassium is important when it comes to our blood pressure. Because high blood pressure is the leading cause of heart disease, one of the leading causes of heart disease, and which is the leading cause of death worldwide, right? So heart health, and this is been for quite some time now, and with recent things that have happened since 2020, which things I'm not going to go into on this live stream, but I'm pretty sure you brothers and sisters can read between the lines. Certain procedures that have happened since then have only increased heart issues, myocarditis, heart health. So how much more now is heart disease the leading cause of death worldwide? All right, so this is the reason why potassium is so important, because of its benefits on blood pressure, which, again, chain reaction. If your blood pressure is off, out of balance, it's going to lead to the heart working too hard. It's going to lead to a chain reaction of things. Now your heart is on the verge of failing. It says a potassium-rich diet may reduce blood pressure by helping the body remove excess sodium. We're going to talk about that, right? We're going to talk about potassium's effect on sodium. High sodium levels can elevate blood pressure, especially for people whose blood pressure is already high. An analysis of 33 studies found that when people with high blood pressure increased their potassium intake, their systolic blood pressure decreased by 3.49 mmHg, while their diastolic blood pressure decreased by 1.96 mmHg. See that? So those of you who are dealing with high blood pressure, let's really focus on understanding potassium. And, you know, we can go into ways that you can increase the potassium. Also, the fact that you need to check with your doctor to see what your potassium levels are. And you can examine your diet to see whether or not it lines up with potassium-rich foods versus high-sodium foods. And maybe that's the reason why the blood pressure, or part of the reason why it's high. In another study including 1,285 participants aged 25 to 64, scientists found out that people who ate the most potassium had reduced blood pressure compared to people who ate the least. All right, so this is pretty profound of how important potassium is and how much of assisting with lowering one's high blood pressure. Like it's not even a debate. It's not even, you know, up for question as far as does potassium help or not. It's pretty clear with the science and also with the studies how important potassium is for high blood pressure. Those who consume the most had systolic blood pressure that was 6 mmHg lower and diastolic blood pressure that was 4 mmHg lower on average. All right. So let's break down the science real quick. Okay. We haven't talked about sodium yet in our mineral discussion. Sodium is very important. Body needs sodium. Unfortunately, we live in a society to where it's a fast-paced society where a lot of people are eating foods that are not, you know, organic, whole food eating. They're eating fast food. They're eating processed food. They're eating junk food. Well, what does all this food typically have a lot of? Sodium. And typically, when we talk about this particular type of sodium that's in these foods, is not the sodium that you would get in nature. This is refined salt, salt that's been stripped of its minerals. So now you're putting something, you're eating something that's not found in nature the way the body's supposed to receive it. So now that salt you're taking in is out of balance because those minerals that are in, you know, salt that you would find in nature, like sea salt, any of your sea salts that are out there, are going to have trace minerals in them, like potassium. Okay, it's going to have the minerals in there to help regulate and balance the sodium chloride that's in the salt. But when you strip all that away and you're just getting salt, sodium, reduced and stripped of these minerals, and you're eating this a lot and it's in everything you eat, what is that going to lead to? High blood pressure. High blood pressure, heart disease, heart attacks. On and on and on and on. Stuff failing in your body because of eating high sodium foods. So what do you do about that? Well, you limit the processed foods, the fast foods, the junk foods. You limit those foods. And now you start to substitute those foods with potassium-rich foods to help bring balance, right? Because you still want the salt. And now, instead of getting the refined salt, which is, you know, pretty much a chemically altered salt, it's a manufactured salt. It's been changed. And it's been changed into a way the body shouldn't be receiving it, right? Instead of now having that for your salt, you then replace that with sea salt. You're eating your potassium-rich foods, your balanced diet, and now you're using sea salt on your food. And now you bring balance, and you're getting all the other minerals that come with the sea salt. You see, that's how it works. But because our society has done what it's done with the processing of the salt, it's leading to why there is this uptick of heart disease and high blood pressure. And, these irregularities when it comes to this particular part of people's health being so high, right? Because we've shifted away from the natural diet and gotten on this fast food or this microwave diet, which is killing us. So that's what you do. And then you also can look into maybe some potassium supplementation. Okay. Taking some potassium supplements, supplements that can give you some potassium to go with the diet to make sure that the potassium is there to counteract and balance the salt. But you don't, because a lot of times what you hear people say is, oh, stay away from salt, stay away from salt. But you rarely hear people say, what's your potassium levels look like if you have high blood pressure? You need the salt, okay? You don't need a lot of salt, but you need some salt, right? So you don't want to take salt out of your diet totally, because then that could also have the same effect of high blood pressure. You still need that, but you need the right kind of salt, but you need to make sure the question is being asked, where is my potassium? What are my potassium levels? Where are they at? Let me now get the potassium in my diet to help balance when I am eating the salt, the sodium, I'm getting the sodium. Okay. So just giving some understanding, because again, most people, when they talk about high blood pressure, you always hear them mention salt and being careful and reducing, but you never hear them talk about, okay, what is your potassium like? So I just wanted to stress that. So of course, talking about heart disease, high blood pressure, what is this going to bring about? Strokes. May help protect against strokes. We also talked about the brain. So typically when you're talking about stroke, you're also talking about the brain. Potassium's effect on the brain. So those are two main things, heart and brain. Minerals, nutrients that are important for the heart and brain, you got to make sure that they're in the right balance, first and foremost. Not that your other organs aren't important too, but first and foremost, your heart and brain. Because typically there are parts and different cells of the heart and brain which cannot be regenerated. Like once they're damaged and they cannot be fixed. Some parts, more so for the brain. Other organs can typically be regenerated, like your liver and your kidneys. Those are organs that can be regenerated if they're damaged. But once you have certain type of heart damage or brain damage, that's typically, stuff that doesn't regenerate. It says here, a stroke occurs when there is a lack of blood flow to the brain. It's the cause of death for more than 130,000 Americans every year. All right. And even if it doesn't kill you, who wants to have brain damage? Who wants to be walking around with a brain that's not healthy because the blood flow isn't getting there to keep the brain healthy, to give the brain what it needs? Studies have found that eating a potassium-rich diet may help prevent strokes. So for those of you who maybe have had a stroke, okay, chances are you're not eating a potassium-rich diet. You have a high sodium diet. All right, so we have to fix that. We got to, get rid of those junk and fast foods, bring in the potassium-rich foods, and your salt should be in the form of sea salt. Okay, preferably sea salt that you are adding to the food yourself. I know there's a lot of different processed foods now where they have in the label sea salt and all that. Who knows what, form of sea salt that is. Who knows what level of quality sea salt that is. You want the sea salt that you know that you are controlling putting in your food. Okay, getting it from a good source and knowing that I'm putting you know, the proper sea salt on my food. It says here, in an analysis of 33 studies, including 128,644 participants, scientists found that people who ate the most potassium had a 24% lower risk of stroke than people who ate the least. So that's almost a quarter, a 4% lower risk of stroke by simply having a higher potassium diet. That's a huge amount in a study like this. Additionally, an analysis of 11 studies with 247,510 participants found that people who ate the most potassium had a 21% lower risk of stroke, which is a fifth, one-fifth, which is another big amount in another study. They also found that eating a diet rich in this mineral was linked to a reduced risk of heart disease. All right, so it's getting pretty obvious now how important potassium is. Talk about the heart. We talk about our blood pressure. We talk about the brain. Well, it doesn't stop there, because now we also must talk about potassium's effect on the bones, which is your body's structure. It gives the body its form and holds the body together and upright. It says here, may help prevent osteoporosis. Osteoporosis is a condition characterized by hollow and porous bones. It's often linked to low levels of calcium, an important mineral for bone health. Of course, we talked about calcium. It's, you know, one of the many minerals that help with bone health. Interestingly, studies show that a potassium-rich diet may help prevent osteoporosis by reducing how much calcium the body loses through urine. All right, so what the potassium is doing, it's working with the calcium, and it's making sure the calcium, the body's not getting rid of calcium to the level to where it could cause a deficiency through urination. Right, so it's kind of holding on to the calcium and keeping it in the body to be used. In a study in 62 healthy women aged 45 to 55, scientists found that people who ate the most potassium had the greatest total bone mass. In another study with 994 healthy premenopausal women, scientists found that those who ate the most potassium had more bone mass in their lower back and hip bones. Big time. So we're talking about blood pressure, heart, brain, bones. What else? Kidney health may help prevent kidney stones. So how many, again, you don't got to answer in the chat. You can keep it to yourself, but you can ask yourself the question, if you suffered from kidney stones, well, let's check your sodium. Just check your diet to see if you're eating a lot of the processed foods and your potassium foods are missing. Kidney stones are clumps of material that may form in concentrated urine. Calcium is a common mineral in kidney stones, and several studies show that potassium citrate lowers calcium levels in urine. So just like how we just read here, how the potassium is holding on to the calcium to keep it for the bones to use. Well, kidney stones are calcium deposits, so therefore, if the potassium is there, it's going to also prevent the calcium from forming into stones in the kidneys, right? Common sense. So you see how when we don't have, you know, these particular minerals, and certain ones we need to focus on more than others that may we would be missing out on because of our diet or because of health conditions we're having, you see how it leads to a chain reaction of events happening in the body. It's a domino effect, a never-ending domino effect to where now you have kidney problems, you got heart problems, you got high blood pressure, you got brain issues. So it says, in this way, potassium may help fight kidney stones. Many fruits and vegetables contain potassium citrate, so it's easy to add to your diet. In a four-year study in 45,609 men, Scientists found those who consumed the most potassium daily had a 51% lower risk of kidney stones. Similarly, in a 12-year study in 91,731 women, scientists found that those who consumed the most potassium daily had a 35% risk of kidney stones. So we see 51%, which is half, and 35%, which is more than a third, in two studies. And not that these are the only, this is the only thing that can cause kidney stones, right? But it is obviously through these studies showed to be a huge factor. Okay, so we're seeing huge numbers of percentages with potassium when it comes to these particular issues. And so now we have to ask ourselves how undervalued, underappreciated, and, overlooked potassium is, because nobody ever talks about it. You know, you typically ever hear anybody talk about, and it's taken for granted in our diet. It may reduce water retention, which we kind of discussed earlier. Water retention happens when excess fluids builds up inside the body. Historically, potassium has been used to treat water retention. So if you're dealing with fluid issues, buildup of fluid in your body in whatever way, for whatever reason, different parts of the body, then let's look at the potassium. Studies suggest that a high potassium intake can help reduce water retention by increasing urine production and reducing sodium levels. Because remember, when there's high levels of sodium, there's going to be high levels of water in the body. Okay, the water has to be there to water down the sodium levels. So now your body's holding on to fluid. But when you have the potassium now to help counterbalance the sodium, now that's going to cause your body to urinate to get rid of the fluid that your body's holding on to, right? Now, so is a overview of just some of the main things that we see when it comes to the health benefits of potassium. I mean, you also have, it manages blood sugar. So for those who may have diabetes, maintains good metabolism. For those who, their metabolism, for whatever reason, when it comes to when it comes to weight, you know, you're holding on to weight that you shouldn't have. Water weight is one of those things that people hold on to that adds weight to them. Stimulates brain function. So good for the brain, potassium. We talked about muscle cramps and aches and how it's for the muscles, good for the muscles. And then you can also look at cellulite, right? Particularly sisters, something that sisters deal with more so is cellulite. So it's going to make the body tighter to where you're not holding on to loose skin and this cellulite buildup on the body from having the potassium. Okay, so a big factor, not the only factor. But now a person may ask, where do I find it in nature? How do I now get potassium into my diet? So let's go there. Sources of potassium. Sources of potassium. Potassium is abundant in many whole foods, especially fruits, vegetables, and fish. So if you're not eating fruits, vegetables, and fish, which I know a lot of people aren't, then, you know, chances are you probably are potassium deficient. Most health authorities agree that getting 35 to 4,700 milligrams of potassium daily appears to be the optimal amount. Here's how much potassium you can get from eating a 3.5-ounce serving of foods rich in this mineral. So here are some of the foods, which we're going to talk about more in a moment. You have beet greens, yams, pinto beans, white potatoes, portobello mushrooms, avocado, sweet potato, spinach, kale, salmon, bananas, and peas. So you have to ask yourself, are you eating any of these foods here? And not just eating them every now and then, but eating them consistently. All right, if you're not eating these foods consistently, then chances are you're potassium deficient. All right, and you want to get them as whole and natural as possible, at least amount of processing that you can, so that you know that the mineral is kept intact within this within these food items. On the other hand, over-the-counter supplements are not a great way to increase your potassium intake. Okay, so even though there is potassium supplementation, it's not the best way to get your potassium. Okay, not saying that it's not a way, but it's not the primary way. Remember, supplements is just something to assist. It shouldn't be the silver bullet issue. The silver bullet is the diet. Okay, we want to, as people, and I get it because our taste buds, we want our taste buds satisfied and scratched, right? So we want to keep the same diet and just take the pill. Okay, that's not what you want to do. That's not natural. Okay, that can potentially lead to, other issues. So change the diet. Look at the whole food supplements, phyto supplements, plant-based things that are, highly, plant that's, they have, the green food supplements, stuff like that, that maybe are high in potassium, stuff like that is how you would want to supplement and get a lot of your minerals, nutrients, vitamins, your sea moss and stuff like that, that you know is coming from a plant versus just a pill that's filled with powder of, who knows what kind of powder and processing there, right? So, there are not all supplements are created equal. So you got to do your research on how close to nature the supplement is. It says here, in many countries, food authorities limit potassium in over-the-counter supplements to 99 milligrams, which is much less than the amount you can get from just one serving of potassium-rich whole foods above. This 99 milligram limit is likely because many studies have found that high doses of potassium from supplements may damage the gut and even lead to death by heart arrhythmia. You see, so it's already showing you the body is not designed, especially with potassium, to get it in a, unnatural way as a pill. However, people who suffer from a potassium deficiency may receive a prescription from their doctor for a higher dose supplement. Okay, so but these are things you have to discuss with your doctor and make a determination based upon you. Because whenever we speak about health, we're speaking in a general sense. So this is for general speaking. But you as an individual, your situation may be different. It may need something specific for yourself and for you. And that's where your doctor comes in to make a determination on that. Okay, you and your doctor can determine what's best for you. Consequences of too much or too little potassium. Less than 2% of Americans meet the U.S. recommendations for potassium. However, a low potassium intake will rarely cause a deficiency. Instead, deficiencies mostly happen when the body suddenly loses too much potassium. This may happen with chronic vomiting, chronic diarrhea, or in other situations in which you've lost a lot of water. All right. It's also uncommon to get too much potassium, though it may happen if you take too many potassium supplements. right? There is no strong evidence that healthy adults can get too much potassium from food. So typically, you're not going to get too much of something foods, all right? Because it's coming in a way that it's designed to be received in nature. However, you want to have a variety and diverse diet, meaning you don't want to eat just one thing and think that, you know, well, I can't get an overdose or get too much of what's in this because it's in a food form, but yet you're neglecting other foods that have other things that your body needs, right? Or even if, let's say, you like mushrooms, the portobello mushrooms are said to have a lot of potassium, but eating pinto beans also gives you variety, right? So you want to eat as many of these things on this list as possible and not just be satisfied because you like bananas, but you hate everything else on this list. Well, that's not a lot of variety, right? So you want to keep it diverse and try to incorporate as many of these foods as you can, not just for the different levels of potassium you're going to get, but also because of other things you're going to get, other nutrients that you'll get also. Excess blood potassium mostly occurs when the body cannot remove the mineral through urine. Therefore, it mostly affects people with poor kidney function or chronic kidney disease. Additionally, particular populations may need to limit their potassium intake, including those with chronic kidney disease, those taking blood pressure medications, and elderly people, as kidney function normally declines with age. However, there is some evidence that taking too many potassium supplements can be dangerous. Their small size makes them easy to overdose on. Consuming too many supplements at once may overcome the kidney's ability to remove excess potassium. Nevertheless, it's important to make sure you get enough potassium daily for optimal health. This is especially true for older people, since high blood pressure, strokes, kidney stones, and osteoporosis are more common among the elderly. All right. The bottom line, potassium is one of the most important minerals in the body. It helps regulate fluid balance, muscle contractions, and nerve signals. What's more, a high potassium diet may help reduce blood pressure and water retention, protect against stroke, and prevent osteoporosis and kidney stones. Unfortunately, very few people get enough potassium. To get more in your diet, consume more potassium-rich foods such as beet greens, spinach, kale, and salmon. All right, so that is our article here on what does potassium do for your body, a detailed review on Healthline. We have another article here we're just going to go through real quick, and then we're going to go over to the call lines. Again, if you have a comment, question, anything you would like to say, the guest call-in number is there, 515-605-9327. You can call that number, press the number 1. We will take calls for about 30 minutes before we conclude this live stream. But let's go over now to another of our articles here on Healthline. 18 foods that pack more potassium than a banana. Because typically when you talk about potassium, a person always a banana. You know, bananas have potassium. That's probably one of the most common things a person probably thinks. To get the potassium, just eat a banana. But there are 18 foods that have more potassium than a banana. So if you can get more through your diet, then why not? It says bananas may be known as potassium-rich foods, but you can also get potassium from avocados, sweet potatoes, spinach, coconut water, and other delicious foods and drinks. All right. So it says, however, most people don't get enough potassium through their diets. It's estimated that less than 0.015% of American adults meet their daily potassium needs. All right. So that is low. That means pretty much almost everybody is not meeting their potassium needs. And so we're dealing with a, and I don't know if there's any other nutrient or mineral that is this bad that I've seen of all the minerals. And so now we understand why so many people have high blood pressure, so many people have heart disease, heart issues. So let's look at the foods here. Outside of just bananas, where you can get your potassium. Avocados. So who out there likes avocados? If you don't, if you like them and you're not, you know, maybe eating them, you should definitely look to implement them in your diet. If you don't like avocado, then maybe it's something that you can find something else or learn to maybe a little bit just for the sake of health, right? Sometimes we have to eat things that maybe we don't necessarily like or try to introduce new things for our health sake. Also with avocados, you get healthy fats, vitamin K, and folate. All right. Sweet potatoes, I think, you know, at least when it comes to black folk, sweet potatoes, you don't find too many that aren't, that don't like sweet potatoes. So you have high in fiber, complex carbs, vitamin A on top of potassium for sweet potatoes. All right. Spinach. You know, a lot of people probably growing up didn't like spinach, but as you get older, you see a lot of people now putting spinach in their salads and things like that. So you get, of course, potassium, but you get vitamin A, vitamin K, folate, and magnesium to go along with the potassium for your spinach. Watermelon, well, another staple food of the black community. So let's see what else this has outside of potassium. You get your fiber, magnesium, vitamins A and C. Okay, so you got your watermelon, coconut water. Now, when we're talking about coconut water, you want to get the coconut water straight out the coconut. I know they have a lot of companies out here that you know, bottle it. And not to say that you can't get something from that, but most grocery stores, you can find the baby coconuts with the coconut water in them. Then that's really what you want, right? Coconut water is, you know, known to be hydrating. Right. A lot of sports drinks are now putting coconut water in their drinks because of the electrolytes, because so many different electrolytes. So, of course, potassium is there. You have magnesium, sodium, and manganese also in the coconut water. So pretty much you could drink coconut water by itself if you're dealing with dehydration, any type of deficiency as far as electrolyte balance. Coconut water is going to take care of the trick for you. It's going to do the trick for you. Beans. Okay, beans. So you have beans are high in potassium. Twice as much potassium as a banana. You also have complex carbs and protein from the beans. We're going to be getting into our macros here real soon, our macronutrients. All right, what else do we have? Legumes. lentils, chickpeas. I would stay away from soy. Probably stay away from peanuts because they're hard to digest as well. There are better options for nuts than peanuts. But nonetheless, legumes are high in potassium. You can also sprout legumes. A more healthier option of eating them is by sprouting them. Tomato paste. So tomatoes, good source of vitamin C. And lycopene, a potent antioxidant with cancer-fighting properties. All right. So again, these foods are giving you more than just potassium. You're getting, that's the reason for eating a variety. You're getting more different things with each food. Butternut squash. You have vitamins A and C, B vitamins, vitamin E, and magnesium to go along with potassium in your squash. Potatoes. So you have, depending on the soil, of course, with pretty much anything you eat is going to depend on the content of the minerals. So your vegetables and fruits are going to only be as good as the soil they're grown in. Dried apricots have good source of fiber, vitamins A and E, along with more potassium than a banana. Swiss chard, vitamin K, vitamin A, high in fiber, and more than double the potassium than a banana with your Swiss chard. Also, you're talking about a green leafy vegetable, so you're going to have like your chlorophyll and your different phytonutrients like that that are very detoxifying, healthy for the blood. Beets. So with beets, I mean, there's so many different things that are good with beets, good for the heart, right? Good for the heart are beets, okay? Good for the blood, detoxing the blood, and high in potassium, right? Pomegranate, vitamin C, vitamin K, you know, higher in protein than other fruits, and also good source of potassium. Fruit and vegetable juices are also good ways to get potassium. You have your grapefruit juices and like your orange juice, your pomegranate juice are going to have high potassium. Tomato juice, carrot juice, also high in potassium. Fish. So you have cod, haddock. We talked about salmon earlier. You know, these fishes, you know, good healthy fats, the omega-3 fats, good for your heart, reduce heart disease, tuna. Lean, high protein, and potassium, right? Yams, which are very similar to sweet potatoes, with potassium. And then last, we have salt substitutes. Let's see, what do we have here? So you have certain salt substitutes that replace salt with potassium to reduce perceived salt intake, diminishing the taste. So basically it just reduces the salt and it adds some potassium, magnesium, and things like that. All right, so... some more things there just to add to your list of foods that you can look to when it comes to potassium. And it's easy to see that if a person's not eating these foods all the time, how so many people are deficient in potassium. Because there are people aren't eating these types of foods. People are, you know, they're grabbing the burger, they're grabbing the grabbing the pizza, grabbing the fried chicken, all these other things, versus what we just read on this list. And you know, if you're somebody who exercises a lot, look into drinking the coconut water instead of drinking regular water, or maybe a Gatorade, which, you know, Gatorade does have some form of potassium in it. But, you know, those things are made in a manufacturing facility. Why not get the nature's electrolyte beverage, which is a coconut, and drink from a coconut, and drink, you know, maybe a coconut or two throughout the week. To, you know, just another hack into making sure that you get some extra potassium in your diet, as well as some of the foods that you see here on your screen and foods we've spoken about. All right. So we are coming to the end of this stream. And again, we're going to do some Q&A here for a brief moment. You have the guest call-in number, 515-605-9327. The call lines are open for anybody that would like to ask any health-related questions. It could be about anything, any comments, things you would like to speak about when it comes to health, fitness, nutrition. The call lines are open, and I will also look in the chat. If there's any questions in the chat, I will answer questions now. All right, still waiting here. I know there's a little bit of a delay. So any questions, go ahead. You can either call in or you can ask in the live chat. And if there are no questions, then we can conclude the broadcast. Someone asked, what are the mints that I eat? I'll show you all here. I don't know if you all have seen Spry. They have mints and gum, and when you look on the back, dentist approved, xylitol sweetened, freshens breath, sugar-free, non-GMO, gluten-free, vegan safe, no artificial colors, no artificial flavors, no aspartame. And so xylitol comes from a tree. So it's a natural sweetener from a tree. It's easy on the blood sugar, and probably can't see that, but those are the ingredients. I might could pull it up online and get, matter of fact, I'll pull it up so you all can see it online. But typically, if you're at Sprouts or Whole Foods, you probably will see Spry. And let me see here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I just try to find things that have really good ingredients. Let's see. So as you can see here, depending on which particular one you get is going to vary from ingredients, but you see the ingredients here, you know, pretty much all natural ingredients. But if you just type in Spry, you can look it up. They're the only ones I could find that didn't have all that, all those crazy ingredients that you find with most mints and gums, just all type of craziness. So those are the mints that I use, and they come in all different flavors. You got, you know, peppermint, spearmint, you have fruit flavors, cinnamon, and I like them. So we have a caller from the 216 area code. Let me go ahead over to Blog Talk here. 216 area code, you're live.
Shabbat Shalom, Elder. How are you today, sir?
Shabbat Shalom. I'm doing well. How are you?
Blessed. Real quick, I think I heard you say that potassium lowers blood pressure, but then I thought I also heard you say that if you're taking blood pressure medicine to monitor the amount of potassium. I wasn't sure if I heard that right, because it kind of just seemed like it, you know, was contradictory, like you would want to continue to take it to lower the blood pressure, and it would seem to go with taking the medicine, but I wasn't sure if I heard that right.
Well, taking potassium supplements, you don't want to take too many potassium supplements if you're on blood pressure. Now, potassium-rich foods is different.
Okay.
But potassium supplementation is shown to be problematic even if you don't have high blood pressure. Because it's so easy to get toxicity from potassium supplements, maybe versus other supplements that you could take. So it's not really something you want to get in a pill form. Not that you can't. There are different ways that, you know, different companies that have it. I'm not familiar with any. I haven't purchased any potassium supplements myself, but you would probably want to get something that is like a food-based supplement, plant-based supplement. Mm-hmm. Maybe it has like different foods that you could mix into a drink and drink it that's high in potassium, something like that, versus a potassium synthetic supplement made at a, you know, manufacturing facility or, you know, out of a lab or something, or a pharmaceutical. But, you know, check with your doctor. Check with your doctor on that. They would be able to determine those things for you.
No, that makes 100% sense. And it wasn't for me. It's for a family member. But that makes perfect sense. I was like, wait a minute. That it didn't kind of go together. But as I tell them all the time, anyway, it's better to get it through natural, you know, foods, whole foods, versus taking a pill anyway. So, okay.
Hey, so when you say supplement, you know, all supplements aren't created equal. So it depends on the type of supplement. Like, for instance, I make up my own CMOS gel, which is a supplement, but it's CMOS is a sea plant or a seaweed. So me getting that versus buying a multivitamin, multi-mineral pill, and not that there aren't any good ones out there, but there's probably more bad ones than there are good ones. So it's just the ingredients had to be more closer and more coming from a natural, plant source versus, you know, there are chemical variations of minerals and vitamins and nutrients. You see what I'm saying? There are the synthetic kind. So as long as it's coming from a natural source, like if it's CMOS that's powdered in a pill, that's different than buying something. Okay, what is the source? Like, what is the, how is this particular nutrient or multivitamin, multimineral made? What was it made from? Where did you get it from? Oh, well, we made it in the lab and we synthesized it. Now, see, okay, now you're getting into something else. versus, oh, well, we took sea moss, we dried it out, we ground it into powder, and we put it in a pill. That's different. Those are two different types of supplements.
Gotcha. Makes perfect sense.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay.
But they have the drinks that you can mix, the powdered green superfood. I know Elder Aria has it for his key supplements. Those are more so like your whole food ways to get your nutrients through supplements, where you can just mix it in water and drink it, and it's a supplement.
Gotcha. Yeah, we have a few things that the wife and I've ordered from Key as well. But that what you said though made sense. It cleared it up for me. I just said like it just seemed like a contradiction, but I get what you're saying now. Like you said, the natural sources versus synthetic sources, so forth.
Exactly.
Okay.
Or prescriptions. You got to be careful with that too, and just make sure you're holding your doctor accountable. And if you are going to the doctor, asking them the question, well, hey, from my research, potassium supplementation can be, counter effective, or, not in the best interest if I'm taking blood medication, and have a conversation with them about it. And maybe depending on the blood pressure medication or the particular potassium supplement, maybe, there is an explanation that it's okay. That's for them to tell you. Those things, because I'm not familiar with blood pressure medication. There's different kinds, right? I know there's different types that you can get. Some doctors will say, no, don't take these kinds. These are bad. But you can take this type of blood pressure medication. So those are the deep conversations you have with the doctor.
Gotcha. All right. Well, hey, I appreciate you. Thank you for the physical upliftment and also the spirituals that you give us too, every other week when you do Coming Out of Babylon as well. So definitely helping to keep the body built up. So appreciate you, and have a blessed Shabbat.
Yes, sir. The water for the support, and Shabbat Shalom. All right, great question. And again, call lines open for a little bit longer. If anybody would like to call in, let me come back to the chat and get back to the questions. Let's see. Got to scroll back up here. Somebody says, is soy good for you? The issue with soy, there's a couple things, especially if you're in America. Most soy is GMO. So now we're going down the road of something being synthesized, altered outside of nature. And so that's already problematic. Secondly, when you look at soy, soy actually induces estrogen creation within the body, estrogen secretion and development within the body, which is not the hormone that you want. Produced in the body. And we may actually go into some information on that down the road, but you can do your own research on estrogen. I know a lot of people say it's good for women. It's more detrimental for men, but even estrogen is bad for women in high amounts. So it's unfortunate they put soy in everything. Like, you find soy pretty much anything processed, you'll see soy lecithin and, all these different soys produced in a facility that produces soy or manufactures soy. So when you're talking about like your grains, like your wheat and your barley and all those, your soys and all those, a lot of that stuff is GMO. A lot of that stuff produces estrogen. And it's just stuff that you want to stay away from, especially men. And there's just better alternatives to whatever you're trying to get with soy. There's better alternatives that are more effective for your health. Like, for instance, they may try to sell you soy protein and say, okay, well, this is a good way to get your protein. There are better ways to get protein than soy. Maybe not as cheap, because soy is very cheap. That's the reason why soy is highly, you know, utilized within the food and agricultural industry because it's so cheap. Put it in everything because it's cost effective for them. But if you spend a little bit more money and maybe buy like whey protein, it's more quality protein that's not going to have the negative effects of soy, but it may cost you a little bit more, you see. So for me, it's more beneficial for me to spend a little bit extra money for my diet versus spending money on healthcare and doctor bills from the detrimental effects of eating lots of soy. So do your own research, look up soy, and maybe you can share some of your research with us for the person that asked the soy question. Someone asked about kidney disease from her chemo treatment. Any recommendation to replenish herself? Other than diet, just making sure that they are eating, you know, just a natural organic diet. You know, you have the different teas, cold pressed juices, stuff like that. I would just speak to her on the diet side. Anything outside of diet, she would need to speak to her doctor about that as far as what can be done for replenishment. Lots of minerals, lots of vitamins, you know, probably one of the greatest ways to do that is CMOS. And so that's something that she could look to supplement in her diet is, you know, lots of CMOS to get the minerals and vitamins. All right, let's see here, some more questions. Someone asks, says, I'm a short, skinny guy. Any way I can put on muscle mass in a healthy way? Well, that's a loaded question. There's a combination of things. Of course, you're going to want to strength train with weight, with you know, resistance training, whether that's with you know, weights, or you can use bands or cable exercises as well. And you want to start out lightweight. But you have to work your way up to heavier weight, heavier between 8 to 12 reps, full body workouts, as far as you got to work each muscle group, not necessarily every day or every workout, but spread it out throughout the week. There's programs for it that you'd have to, you know, look to be probably on a program to get the full layout and structure if you're having a hard issue putting on weight. And then when it comes to diet, which is the most important part, healthy fats and high protein and a significant amount of carbs. And the more carbs, the less lean the weight will be. So there is a balance, but you have to be in a caloric surplus. All right, so let's say your body needs 2,000 calories per day. You need to be consuming 2,500 per day to gain weight. And it would be the same if you were looking to lose weight. You would need to lose intake 500 less calories than the 2,000, which is 1,500. But you want it to be with lots of protein, lean protein, and healthy fats with a significant amount of carbs. And you want to eat three meals a day, probably two snacks a day, right? And so you're looking at, for breakfast, you're probably going to need to eat, you know, like eggs. You have potatoes you could eat, or oatmeal. So you're getting your protein, your healthy fats, maybe a little bit of like turkey bacon or something like that. Then when you exercise, you know, go to the gym, work out. After the gym, you're going to be doing whey protein afterwards to get the muscle recovery going. As soon as you finish your workout, you got to get the whey protein. You got to get like your coconut water and things like that back in for the minerals to rehydrate, and also some, I mean, there's a whole lot that goes into it, but you know, after you do your post-workout smoothie or drink, then you need to do a big meal, right, within an hour. So that's something more so that you would need to get with on a program to go through all the different things that come with adding the weight on, knowing what foods to eat, what foods not to eat. So that's a very loaded question to answer here within this particular stream. We'd probably have to get with you offline to make a program for something like that. Somebody asked, do these foods help to heal any damage already done? Well, you would need to be a little more specific on which foods and what damage. It depends. That's kind of vague to know exactly what foods and for what damage. What do you do to get rid of mucus? Well, that's another very loaded question. We have to determine where is the mucus coming from. Why is there mucus? The mucus could come from food. The mucus could come from allergies. So changing the diet could help get rid of mucus. It could alleviate the mucus. Mucus can be caused by a lot of dairy, a lot of sugar, a lot of animal protein. So we have to examine the diet to see where the mucus is coming from. Some people get mucus from sinus allergies. So, you know, another more loaded question we got to dig deep into to see where is the mucus coming from. Someone says, what are the Bible verses for foods that deal with diabetes? Well, there isn't any scriptures that talk about diabetes in the Bible that I'm aware of. Diabetes is a more of a common term that the medical world has, you know, come up with for a health condition. So I seriously doubt that during those times the scriptures were written that diabetes was even named for that particular type of issue, and probably diabetes may not even existed back then. But we've talked about diabetes on here, different minerals and vitamins that are needed that can help with diabetes, different foods. So, but that's more so a physician, a naturopath doctor that's going to help you with like actually health conditions. But I would say when it comes to diabetes, you have to be careful with sugar. Okay, refined sugar. All right. And even when it comes to natural sugar like honey or fruits, you have to be careful. You want to eat more vegetables. Drink more vegetable juice. You know, add more of that to your diet along with eating the you know, the actual lean meat for your protein and stuff like that. Let's see. What else do we have here? Yeah, because some of these questions are more like for like health issues, like medical. And I'm not a medical physician or a doctor, so I can't deal with stuff like that. I'm only here for, you know, things more so related to diet and fitness. So anything in regards to what you're eating, but if you're trying to like help with some type of health condition or issue, that's more so where you got to get with a doctor on those things. Let's see. I have heard about Celtic salt, and what I would say is that it's just another form of salt that's supposed to be pure, free of toxins. So I would say, you know, you got your different kinds of salts, you know, try them all out, see which ones that you, you know, maybe you like the best. You have your pink salt, you have your Celtic salt, you got different types. So maybe try them all out, see which one works best for you. As far as best, I don't know if there is a, or better, I don't know if there is a, it's more subjective as far as which one is better. Let's see, what else do we have here? Someone says, is pink Himalayan salt good to use? From my research, pink Himalayan salt is a great way to add salt to your food. It's actually harvested, or it is actually obtained high up in the Himalayan mountains where there's no pollution. So it's said to be free of pollutants, and kind of proof that the world has undergone a flood, being the fact that there is actual sea salt up in the mountains, and the Himalayas being the highest mountain range in the world. We're able to go up there and find sea salt and cut it out in big slabs. So, yes, you can use pink salt in all different kind of ways. You'd be surprised the different ways that you could use it. But, you know, the most basic way is on your food, sprinkle it on your food. And, you know, research, they got your pink salt or your Himalayan salt, you know, breathing devices. You also have your pink salt lamps that people use that they say are very healing. So look into it. Redo some research on that. Because of this platform, you know, have to be careful on some of the stuff we discuss here. So I'm also trying to tiptoe around the AI. What else do we have here? Someone says something about a video or interview on the destruction of America. Anything you would like to send, you can send it to goccsouthwest@gmail.com. goccsouthwest@gmail.com. Somebody asked, what is good for sleeping? Waking up in the middle of the night with leg cramps. Okay, so now we're getting somewhere. So sleeping, one of the main minerals you want to look at is magnesium. Magnesium also falls within the realm of electrolyte. So if you are not getting the proper magnesium allows the muscles to rest. Okay, so if your muscles are constantly in the contraction, or a contracted state, it's going to cause a cramp. So magnesium and potassium are the first two things I would look at you're needing to do to help with cramping and sleeping. I can personally attest, I've been supplementing with magnesium, different kinds, the oral kind as well as a spray, and I haven't slept better than ever using that. So look into magnesium supplementation as well as the spray to see if that helps with your cramping and your sleeping. All right, as well as potassium. Okay, look at your diet. Are you getting lots of sodium through fast foods and junk foods and processed foods? And are you eating enough foods with potassium and magnesium? Let's see. A lot of questions here. All right. Let's see. Someone says, doesn't CMOS have potassium in it? I believe it would be some potassium in CMOS. How much? I'm not sure, but I would assume that it does. Because CMOS is said to have 92 minerals of the 102 the body needs. So Someone asked about Friday Night Sabbath archive streams. Those streams can be found on Odyssey. I know you said on Rumble. We don't have a Rumble channel. They're on Odyssey. So if you go to GOCC Southwest on YouTube and you look under the About section, there is an Odyssey link. There is Odyssey there where if you click on that, it'll take you straight to all the past shows. Someone asked, what do I typically eat in a day? Well, it depends. From day to day, it's not the same. Some days I do intermittent fast. Some days I may early in the day just do like a green juice with spirulina and chlorella and then eat dinner. But typically I try to, eat lean as far as like chicken, breasts, fish, eggs, lean beef, grass-fed beef, maybe once a week. I don't eat a lot of red meat, but I do like to eat some here and there. I like to drink kombucha as well. So I don't do sodas. It's typically kombucha and, water, things like that, teas, stuff like that. Just brown rices, as far as carbs, brown rices, potatoes, sweet potatoes, lean protein, sometimes protein shakes after working out. But that's typically it, cold pressed juices, lean protein, a little bit of complex carbs, not too much. Try to do lots of salads throughout the week, at least two or three salads throughout the week. Get those vegetables in. And that's kind of the core of what I eat. And then, of course, on the weekends, I have my cheat day. I'll go out to eat and order something from a restaurant or something. But I try to limit eating out. I don't like to eat out more than once a week. And I try to, even when I eat out, I try not to go too crazy and get something too wild. I try to, keep it within reason. Someone says, what about soy in the form of natokinase? I'm not saying that you can't use natokinase, but is there a better alternative? So lumbrokinase is said to work better, and it's not soy. So I would tell somebody to get the lumbrokinase. But you also have serrapeptase, and you can try all three. You can try the natto, you can try the serrapeptase, you can try the lumbrokinase. Try them all and see what works best for you. Just know that natto comes from soy. And it may not be a lot of soy, but if it's GMO, and again, you can only control so much. So a lot of stuff we probably eat is GMO. But just keep it all in mind that, for me, I like to try to make the best choice I can make. Try to buy from some of the best companies I can buy from that have good reputation. And knowing that you can only control so much. Let's see. Green superfood is basically like all of your kales, your spinach, all those greens kind of in a powdered form. So you're going to get all the minerals and vitamins and getting it from plants versus getting it from some synthetic laboratory manufactured supplement. Someone says, is liquid amino good? I would say that you could probably find some good liquid aminos. Depends on what liquid amino you're talking about. I know they have the liquid amino for like substitute for like soy sauce, but you also have liquid aminos for like amino acids, like that you take for like exercise supplementation. So I'm not sure which one you mean, but I would say both can be good depending on where you're getting it from and who, how it's made. It wouldn't be good if it's coming from an unclean animal. So, those are things you got to kind of take into consideration is what is the source. Somebody says, what is the best dosage for CMOS? Well, I typically take a tablespoon every other day. I don't take it every day. So I'll take a tablespoon of CMOS maybe 4 days a week, 3 or 4 days a week. On the other days where I'm not taking CMOS, I'm usually taking like, I usually will take, what's it called, bee pollen. Because bee pollen also has a lot of minerals and vitamins in it, enzymes. So that way I'm getting some variety. But a tablespoon, I don't think you really need more than a tablespoon per day. But, you know, look into that. Look, you know, research what maybe naturopathic doctors are that, you know, tell people to get on CMOS, see what they're suggesting on that. But I'm just telling you what works for me. So I take it, and I don't have any issues. There could be some allergies there. There could be the source where you're getting the CMOS. You got to check the source. Also, you could be dealing with some level of detoxifying effects from, you know, having some toxicity in the body, and the body's detoxifying and having reactions to that. So there's a lot of different things. A lot of different things going on that could be going on there. Let's see. All right, somebody asked a question. I'm trying to gain muscle but lose belly fat and find it difficult to do both since the calorie intact is opposite. How would we lose fat if we need to up the calorie to gain muscle? Well, to answer that question is you don't want to do both at the same time. Either you want to bulk or you want to cut. You have to make your mind up. Do you want to cut and lose the fat, or do you want to gain the muscle? All right. So if you're bulking, then you're going to gain some fat with that. But then whenever you're trying to shred, you're looking now to lose weight. You may lose some muscle. Okay. But you can't do both at the same time. It's almost an oxymoron to try to do both at the same time. I'm not saying it can't happen, but it's very difficult. All right, but it comes down to diet. You have to lower the carbs, okay, bring the carbs down, and you have to raise the healthy fats, the healthy protein, strength training, and also HIIT, H-I-I-T, high intensity interval training at the end of your exercise routines. So when you finish working out, exercising with the strength training, you do your HIIT for about 10 minutes. So you got to get that that HIIT in. It's going to raise the heart rate. All right. It's going to raise the heart rate, cause yourself to sweat, and then your diet. But you really want to do one or the other as far as bulking or cutting, and not do them at the same time. So that, you know, there's whole programs for that. So it, you know, that's the overview. Hope that answers your question there. Does potassium help kidney damage or maybe liver damage? I don't know if it helps with the damage, but it can help from the studies to not add to the damage, as far as kidney stones and things like that. But I don't know that it's necessarily going to just be what you need to help with anything that's damaged. That's going to be more so overall dietary thing, right? Changing the diet, detoxing, fasting, let the body heal with the proper natural supplementation. So that's a That's something for a doctor to talk to you about. Let's see. So we're coming to the end here, kind of wrapping things up. Lots of questions here, lots of good questions. Appreciate you all's support and the questions here. And sorry if I've missed any questions or maybe not gotten the answers you would like, but some of these questions are they need very thorough answering to get to the answer that's needed. So I'll see about one more question here. Someone asked, what does castor oil do for the body? I'll take these last two questions. Castor oil is said to be a laxative. So if you use it internally, it can help you when it comes to being regular. And if you're constipated, also detoxifying, said to be a detoxifying agent internally and externally. It's said to help when it comes to like hair growth and different things for the skin, different types of skin issues and stuff like that. So I would just say, you know, do some research on that. And also the question about, have we covered CMOS in a prior broadcast? What are the benefits of CMOS? We have spoke about CMOS several broadcasts. I think the iodine broadcast, we spoke about it the most. And so you can go back and check that one out. I think pulled up some information on CMOS. But CMOS pretty much has, it's said to have 92 minerals of the 102 minerals the body needs. All right? So getting those minerals as well as vitamins is crucial, and you're getting it from a natural source, something in nature that your body can receive and understand what to do with what you're receiving and use in the body. So that's the benefits of CMOS. It's said to be the one of the best supplements that you can take because of all the nutrients in it. But that's something for you to research, and as well as for you to, if you decide with your doctor to go down that road of using CMOS, to see if it will help benefit you in that capacity. All right, so I know there's more probably questions here. Sorry if I didn't get to all of them, but we are well past the time of Q&A. But again, I appreciate everyone being here for this particular installment of GOCC Fit. Once again, all things potassium, all things potassium, and the different foods where you can get it, as well as the different benefits of potassium, and that majority of people are super deficient. Over 99% of people are super deficient in potassium, which leads to high blood pressure and heart disease, heart failure, strokes, brain issues, osteoporosis, bone problems, even maybe possibly diabetes and things like that. So very, very important. Not much talked about mineral and nutrient that people need to focus on, making sure they're getting the foods that are potassium rich. All right. And until next time, when we do, God willing, our next installment of GOCC Fit here for the Gathering of Christ Church, I bid you all Godspeed, and may you be well in your health. Peace and blessings.